This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. I believe Jerry's got an opening statement today, so we'll see what Jerry has in store for us. And sure, he'll have a lot of piping hot takes. Last week, I believe he called them jalapeno poppers.
Yes.
So we look forward to that at 5:30. Ray will join us here in a few minutes. The Raptors are in action tonight down in Oklahoma City. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the big piece in that Paul George trade with the Clippers, has been lights out all year. And he was great up here in Toronto a couple of weeks ago. He had a triple-double, a 20-20 triple-double a couple of nights ago for Oklahoma City. And he plays his hometown team tonight. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the afternoon.
I'm still kind of rattled about Drake. If you're going to use my house, you can't use it for that reason. Like, you can't.
I'm angry for him, for Drake. Like, I know we goof around about Drake and all that. Drake, if he's just being a good guy and, like, go ahead, Kawhi, even though I know you've got $100 million in the bank.
I get it, but don't you say, look, use my house, but there's only one thing you can't do there. Make a mess, one, and two is you can't have Paul George over.
But what did he
right? Cannot, you can't screw over the Raptors.
If Paul George lives a minute away,
go stay at his house. Why not have the meeting at his house?
That's why I'm telling you right now, this isn't done. It smells bad. Something's not right. Whether Drake was privy to it or not.
That's what I don't get. Could you not go to his house?
It doesn't make sense. You connect the dots, something's missing.
Right. Well, something
like, hey, Paul, can I come over for a second? Like, don't come over to my house. I'm at Drake's.
Yeah,
I'm
you can't come here, clearly, because this is not my house.
You would think common sense would prevail. Like, Drake would, go ahead. You're not going to think in your mind, well, make sure Paul George doesn't come over. It's probably common sense to be like, why would that guy bring Paul George over to my house?
Well, he's got 2 years left in Oklahoma City.
No one
knew Paul George was included in any of the plans.
Exactly, so he may have said, I'm going to hang with my boy Paul, and we're going to have some drinks. Paul George had 2 years left on his deal.
He didn't call Drake to tell him anything. Who would do that? If you stay at someone's house, you don't call them and say, hey, just for the record, I'm having someone over. I don't think you would anyway. Regardless, moving on from Drake, we'll leave him be for a bit.
Yeah, let him be.
Because I'm sure we will revisit this story at some point, either this afternoon or again later in the week. We haven't mentioned that Gerard Gallant got fired in Vegas today.
Which is crazy.
Crazy.
This guy brought an expansion team to a cup final. An expansion
You're fired.
Team.
You're fired.
Like, what kind of... Shouldn't you have a long leash? Like, what kind of, I guess, goodwill have you built up?
Like, imagine coaching in the All-Star game. We're not meeting expectations. I went to a cup final year one.
How about this, okay? They made it back to the playoffs the next year, and the only reason they didn't win the round is because of incompetence of referees.
Yeah, the Cody Eakin situation.
Cody Eakin getting clipped for a 5-minute, and then he gets replaced by Peter DeBoer, who benefited from that incompetence from the officiating, which is also adding significant insult to injury, because Gallant can't stand Peter DeBoer. Called him a clown last year during the playoff round. And technically right now they're a point out of a playoff spot, but you just said it. When they announced the All-Star game, they were in first place.
He's coaching in the All-Star game. Like, did they have to replace him?
Yes, you have to
replace
him.
What if he just shows up? What if he shows up
and
says, I'm coaching this team because I was chosen?
I want to see that happen.
My first year in the league, Paul Maurice coached the, I don't even know what the divisions were then, but he coached our team and then got fired halfway through the season because he was in first place, and then he got fired.
This is a Dwayne Casey. Guy wins coach of the year.
It's worse than that, though, because it's still the middle of the season.
Right.
Like, who does Vegas think they are?
Well,
like, I've never seen...
You know this reeks of Bill Foley going, we're underachieving here. This is the owner.
That's exactly what it is. In my opinion, from afar, not knowing him, not knowing the market, this screams an owner who thinks he created everything because he put forth an expansion team that went to a cup final, made it back to the final or the playoffs a year after that, and now they're on the outside looking in, and how dare you?
Yeah, but they're on the...
How dare you?
On the outside looking in.
By a point. They're 3 points, I believe, out of first place.
Well, Kelly McCrimmon is the GM. He's a very respected person in the NHL.
Yeah.
I think this would have to go over his head. He wouldn't just say, I'll fire him because you want to fire him.
This reeks of something else. This reeks of the personality clash.
I don't know. He's one of my favorite hockey guys and one of the most respected guys in hockey. I don't think he would just say, okay, I'm firing him.
Would it shock you if Bill Foley had already recorded his helicopter playoff videos and was like,
you're just saying that because you were out of game and you saw Bill Foley on a video.
He drives me nuts.
Yeah, he was doing like some kind of camo.
We've got the package. We're bringing it to the rink. Shut up and drop the puck.
You were so rattled.
I was so mad at Bill Foley in the helicopter.
We're bringing the package in.
That's what it was, remember?
And then he got on a chopper, and you were like, I hate this guy.
I was fuming. I was shaking. I was so mad.
Yeah, Noodles was gone at that point. It was just me and you.
No, it was before the game.
I was there.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. You think there's a chance the owner in Vegas has already shot his playoff helicopter video? And Gerard Gallant had to pay the price.
If you pay $550 million for anything, you can shoot whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, how do you think
maybe
the transaction,
I'm jealous of the money.
How do you think the transaction happened? Was that, I don't know, just the owner saying we need a change or?
Well, I mean, it's been reported today, and I had heard that a little earlier they were talking about an extension for Gallant earlier in the season. And somewhere between then and now, things went off the rails. It seems a little bit panicky to me. I know they haven't played like maybe we think they should, but I kind of have a hard time believing this is like a Stanley Cup team. You know, like what happened the first year was a lightning bolt. And then last year they got screwed in Game 7 in San Jose, or they might have gone there again. They might have got to the conference finals again. And so it seems weird to me that even though there's holes in their roster, that they would have gone from there to this in a few months.
Well, Brian just said it. Like, for an expansion team as a head coach, what else are you looking for?
Well, I don't know what else he could have done. I guess maybe they look and go, man, outside of St. Louis, the Western Conference is a total 100% crapshoot. And we're, for a month, we've been all over the place. We're not very good. We're not playing very well. You can go through all the analytics that I've been reading today about it, too. And, you know, their 5-on-5 save percentage is down. They give up too many chances from the middle, blah, 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 blah. They haven't been as good as they maybe think they should be. And Pete DeBoer, who everybody thinks is a really good coach, is sitting there. And so maybe they feel like we can't trade six players, but maybe a different voice can get what we think is a better team into a position to compete to get to the conference final. Like when you think of it, in that division, if you win the division, like, you know, like how could you not be considering or thinking rather, we can win two series here?
No kidding.
It's maybe they're like, man, this is, we're right there. We can be the best team, but we're not playing like it. I was shocked when they made the move today.
Shocking. Yeah. Of all the, outside of, you know, the Bill Peters stuff, which took on a life of its own, and Jim Montgomery, which was totally different.
Right.
In terms of just coaches being fired based on what they did behind the bench, this is truly one of the more shocking firings from afar that I can remember in NHL history.
You know what I thought of immediately, outside if there was stuff behind the scenes that we don't know, is I've heard it several times this year, and I hope it's the wrong narrative. Well, St. Louis did it, and they went and won a cup. And I think that would be the most ridiculous thing. St. Louis was a one-in-a-million thing.
Right.
But
And St. Louis was
way
was
off.
Clearly a way better team than they were playing.
Right.
They didn't have a goalie.
Yeah.
And like Doug Armstrong said, I thought it was maybe one of his best quotes. He's like, hey, if we knew Binnington was this good, we would have called him up a long time ago. Like, that was the last thing they had.
Right.
But they fired the coach because they were stumbling around, and then they still stumbled for a month.
Yeah.
With Berube. And then they got the goalie, and then the tumblers all clicked. Like, that was a good team that was playing terribly.
Yes.
And they're in last place. To think this is going to happen all the time or more frequently, I can't buy it either, Noodles. I don't buy it.
No.
I
mean,
but I do think Vegas can get to the conference finals because that division is a mess.
Well, there's only one team that can win the Cup. So there's been, seven coaching turnovers. And right. If they all think they're getting there, six of them are going to be disappointed. And
why did I do that? Why did I fire the coach?
Well, you know what my first thought was that Lou Lamoriello was taking over in Vegas. Like, this feels like a Lou play. Like, you seems to be pretty good from afar. What did you see where all of a sudden you got to fire a guy who's been really quality?
Yeah, and well-liked, too.
Yeah, you just, like, Lou used to do this. Just, he'd wake up one day and be like, this guy's
gone. He would
go
behind the bench himself.
Yeah.
I hope they gave him an Uber instead of a taxi. I saw somebody make a smart-ass comment on that.
Down in Florida when...
Carolina. That was in Carolina. The guy had a taxi.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Well, they were...
maybe you got a helicopter.
They were in Ottawa, right?
Yeah, they're in Ottawa. I'm calling that game tomorrow.
Clearly, just reading Kelly McCrimmon's statements, and, I don't see any way that, Kelly does this without... in concert with George McPhee, right? It's not like one guy making a move to just blow up the whole thing that McPhee had built. But in his statements, he talked about they're just not where they thought they should be. And so I guess that's their prerogative. But man, it seems like
it's year three.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty strange move. I mean, they could get to the conference final with Pete DeBoer, and they still could get to the conference final if Gerard Gallant was coaching. I do think Pete's a good coach, and I do think Gerard's a good coach, and I don't know what the difference is going to be, but I think they can both end up in the same place, which is a weird thing to think. Usually when a coach gets fired, you go, yeah, I can see they had to do that. Well, not this time.
At what point is this on the play? Like, the players? It's crazy how... everything's always the coach's fault here.
Always the coach. And, that first year was such a miracle run for Vegas to get there. But it obviously had a psychological effect on the organization and the market to think, okay, this is just how it works now.
Right.
Right.
Well, remember when Quebec moved from Quebec to Denver?
Right.
And they won the Stanley Cup in the first year. Mm-hmm. And those people in Denver, for the first decade, they were one of the best franchises in the league. And then when they hit the skids, people were, they're like, wow, this is what happens? Like, they were stunned. Clearly, their objectives have changed. They signed Paul Stastny to 4 years, $28 million. They signed Mark Stone to 8 years and whatever he got, $60 million. Like, they've spent. It's not like they're this miracle team anymore. Their defense is a little wonky. Apparently, they're looking for a right-handed guy, but I guess so are a lot of teams. But... nonetheless, it's still surprising to me.
I agree.
Well, as for Toronto, they got a win that they needed last night. And Matthews had three, only his second hat trick in his career.
That's crazy. Surprising. Yeah, it is crazy.
And his first one was actually a four-goal game.
Yeah,
that was his first game, right?
Yeah, his first game, he scores four. You talk about making an impression. You're like, all right, this guy will just pot a couple goals every single night. Took him a while to get back to a hat trick, and he did it on an empty net last night. But now he's on pace for, I think, 58 goals. And, man, his split stats, we were talking about this in the previous hour. I don't recall the last time I saw something like this where I think he has 27 goals at home and 7 on the road.
That's weird.
It's really weird. Like, it's random in some ways, but why would that be the case?
I was just going to say, I'd like to really... try to understand, it's not like he plays against secondary, his matchups are so easy at home and so tough on the road. Like, that's not it. Like, it's crazy to have that big a spread. I remember those stat packs, the media packs they put in the room, and I'd always check. Of course, you only check when you know, but I'd check, and if my splits were way off, it was almost embarrassing to me. I felt like people noticed that. Like, you know, you're like, wow, you get 16 goals at home and 4 on the road. Geez, he doesn't play very tough on the road, or he can't handle the road or something like that. I hated it. And it's just a weird stat. You don't think you play any different. I don't know. Do you notice him any differently? It seems like every time he's at home, he just shoots it in the net 3 times or 2 times or whatever. I mean, right. What a crazy number. Like, to average over a goal a game at home is bizarre production.
It's wild. And he's scored in every different fashion, from every different spot on the ice, first period, second period, third period, overtime. He's done everything. And on the road, I guess maybe he's not getting bounces, but it can't be to that extent. Like, something is different. Maybe last change, maybe where you're starting your shifts. I don't know what it might be. But
how can it be so big?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, you could start more times in the defensive zone, but would that be 2 or 3 times more a game? You know, not 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It's quite, like, dramatic.
Yeah,
like,
it's quite drastic.
Yeah, it's drastic, yes.
But, listen, if he gets to 60, and I guess that's a possibility.
Yeah, who
it's not how, it's how many. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if he gets to 60, I mean, I know we keep bringing back up the Hart Trophy and all that, and he's not in that upper echelon category with McDavid and McKinnon, and I don't think he's there with even Pasternak or Marchand if the Rangers were in Panarin.
Yeah.
But, man, if you get to 60 and you get in with all the hurdles that this Maple Leaf team has dealt with all year, I don't see how that goes unnoticed.
Well, if he gets to 60, he's likely going to be one of 2 players that are there.
Right?
It's him and Pasternak. So, yeah, you get talked about in a different way, for sure. I mean, just 50 is crazy. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets 50 anymore. Or not very many, anyway. It's his pace is just, you know, it's like it's going downhill right now, like a snowball going downhill. It's like you can't stop it. It's almost like McDavid. Every time McDavid has a couple of games where, he hasn't played very well, and then he throws 3 points up last night, and you're like, oh, yeah, he's back at it again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, these guys don't, the very best guys, they don't seem to get in the ditch very long. Man, it's impressive.
Well, with that being said, Matthews, again, he's got 34 goals on the season, and he's got 57 points. I mean, that's a good run. McDavid's got 74.
Right.
Like, McDavid has 17
more points.
Almost 20. 17 more points.
Yeah. And what does Panarin have? He's, like, close to 70 now, isn't
he? He's at 67 now. Like, Panarin screen. This is Taylor Hall, but maybe even more extreme. Like, if the Rangers could somehow get in, Panarin wins. Like, I think that's what would end up happening. The storyline would pick up so quick.
Slam dunk.
But the thing is I think Hall's story was even worse. Like, he sure is not, you know, like, Ryan Strome's had a great season. Zibanejad's a really good player. Like, they've got better players in New York than Jersey did.
Mm-hmm.
Hall's was so big. But you're right. Like, the Rangers, nobody expected them to make it.
Ray, did you ever look at those stat sheets? Like, I had some good years, and I would look at them, and it'd be like, I got 30 goals, but there's another guy that's got 55. Like, Jagr or Lemieux. Yeah. I'm like, I can never win player of the week.
Yeah, right.
I got 2 hat tricks 1 week, and I thought, man, this is my week. I'm going to be the guy.
Me too. And Mario beat me.
Paul Coffey got like 6 assists on the Friday. I was like dusted right out to the back door, man.
Yeah. I was like, I'm for sure winning player of the week. And Mario had like 10 points. And I'm like, I have no shot.
Yeah, I liked looking at those stat sheets early in the season. If I got off to a good start, I'd be like, hey, look at this. I'm in the top 10.
Opening night, tapping a couple second assists.
Yeah. Take whatever you can get, because before you know it, you're like, you're chewing fumes, man.
Take advantage whenever you can. All right, buddy. Where are you? Back in Vancouver now, or?
No, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, you're in Toronto.
I got the game tomorrow.
That's right. You're calling. Well, I guess Matthews was, because him and Matthew Tkachuk are buddies, and they've been friends for a long time. And the media was like, "Do you think Matthew Tkachuk is going to get under your skin?" And Matthews is like, "I think he knows. I'm not really going to care that much about him being on the ice."
Do you know what they're doing right now? They're at dinner.
They probably are tonight. Yeah. You're probably right about that. But that'll be a fun game tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, it should be. It should be good. I'm looking forward to seeing Sandin play, and you know, I watched him at the juniors, but it was a hell of a start for him, and I think there'll be lots of goals too. I just don't see this as the old 3-1 empty netter.
No, I'm with you on that. I think Sandin looked good. Like, I know you, I think you were calling a game last night, Ray, but Sandin, yeah. they didn't overplay him. Like they did what you would expect. He got couple of assists in the first period, which is great. Gets off the snide, gets on the game sheet, played him about 16 minutes. Wasn't against great competition, which is probably ideal. You know, give him a chance to ease into it. But tomorrow is going to be a different, totally different team you're facing.
Yeah.
Now you're back in the league. You feel like you're a part of it. But in terms of first impression, second impression, whichever way you want to define it, I really thought he looked good last night.
Oh, you had a great point, too, though. Number 38 stinks. That's got to go.
It's a training camp number.
No, you're right. The only one.
It is like Hayes would have worn that. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but
tell him what number I wore. Tell him.
Hayes wore 4.
Who gave you number 4?
He probably gave it to himself, but
Velcro did.
Can you imagine like a tryout guy wearing number 4
on defense?
The only thing I can think
on
of
defense.
Is they handed them out by size, like when you're in tight hockey, and 4 fit Hayes. And so they're like, here, this is your jersey.
Right, just a tall, lanky idiot. They're like, this is all we have for you.
I think there's only one way to go. You go up to Jake Muzzin and say, I'll give you 10 grand and a Rolex. Can I have number 8?
You can't do that as a rookie. Jake Muzzin will smack you around and say, don't ever talk to me
like
again.
There's no...
You can't go up to a vet and say, I want your number.
This guy's got to make the league first.
Do you know that when a guy goes to another team and takes another guy's number, they give like a guy the Rolex?
Yeah, Because the other day.
It's like a legend that's coming aboard. It's not Rasmus Sandin.
Can't you do the reverse and say, look,
I was at the World Juniors, so I want your number now? What are you going to say to him? What would be your pitch if you're Rasmus Sandin? Play Rasmus Sandin, and Ray can be Jake Muzzin.
Okay, Jake, I'll give you 10 grand and a Rolex. Can I have number 8?
Okay, the guy hasn't received his
first
check yet.
Yeah. Ray,
doesn't even have money. Go ahead, Ray. Or Jake.
I make $4 million already, and I'm going to sign for 6. 10 grand, beat it.
Okay, what do I have to do to have number 8?
Wait till I sign somewhere else, or I'd like to go on a trip with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Ah, there you go.
Wherever I choose.
Around the world.
Can I come?
No, like Hawaii. Okay. I'd like to go to Hawaii. I'd like you to...
Okay, you're going to Hawaii with your family. Can me and my girlfriend go with you?
Not a chance. We're not... No, I've got a wife and kids. No.
All right.
Yeah.
You can go. You can stay at another hotel if you'd like.
Okay, do you have another option for a number? Like what?
It's not happening. He's 38 until the end of the year. I think that's probably the plan. Like, what's
he gonna
do? You know
what? You're wrong. You know why? Travis Dermott was 23. Or, no, he was 3. And guess what he became?
Babs changed it, didn't he?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't want his thing tied to deal.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Well, Justin Hall has no problem with that, clearly.
Yeah, but Babs isn't there anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's 38. He's playing tomorrow night.
Anyway, he's like a number 7 or something. I don't know.
Somebody pointed out Pavel Dimitra, the late great, was 38.
That's right.
And I loved him.
That was a great number for him.
It looked good. It looked good on Pav.
It did.
It's not a...
No, it just doesn't work.
It's a bad number.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, you have that conversation with him tomorrow, right before the game. Interview him before the game.
Are you still going to wear that number tonight? It looks ridiculous.
Yeah. That'll put him in the right frame of mind for a big game.
Who are you? Who are you?
Sorry, are you security? Like, is that Mikey?
Why are you
I'm not
here?
Joking, Brian. I think it's better for like the player, you look better.
That's fine.
You know how some guys wear a jersey, they get traded, doesn't look right?
Right. I hear you.
I don't like.
He's been in the league for 7 games. We'll figure it out. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, number we'll 4 tomorrow. Here.
Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They will pay your holiday bills up to $1,000 when you lease or finance a new in-stock vehicle in January. Visit MapleToyota.com. Grappler, get someone from Oshawa that saw me play.
Did you get number 4? Did you say, hey, I want number 4?
I skated around the
rink. Because I know when I went to Hartford.
That looks like Bobby Orr. That's what they said.
What if Bobby Orr called up throughout the league and was like,
When I went to Hartford, the trainer said to me,
that guy can't wear four. Like, if he looked at every team, is like, don't even give that guy. Like,
if he saw me wearing
when I went to Hartford, the trainer said to me, do you want to just kind of keep 92? Is that like your number? I'm like, all right. And he said, you might have some issues around here, like 92. First year in the league.
Were you drafted in 92 or 94?
92 in Guelph. That's why I got 92.
Oh.
And the trainer said, he goes, you know, around here, like, young guy, 92, like, you might not want it. I'm like, no, that's, how did you get four?
I looked like Bobby Orr on the ice. Like, what part of this are you not understanding?
You didn't. You were a walk-on.
The owner of the team came down and said, that guy is a walk-on? Absolutely. But I was Robert G. Orr. They said that dude is from
Perry Sound. I'm being serious. How'd you get four?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Walk.
Somebody had to have come up to you and
they
said,
they probably offered me like five numbers, and I said, I'll take that.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
So why wouldn't I?
No
yeah, exactly.
Way.
I was.
No way.
Dude, and I looked good. I had a great bucket. And
moving and shaking and warm up.
Oh, my warm up was phenomenal. Phenomenal warm up.
You were a walk on.
What does that have to do with anything?
I just don't get it. Like,
I was there. I was on the team.
That term in the longest time, a walk-on.
He was.
It was a PTO. It was a PTO.
A five-gamer or what?
No, I got through it. Don't you worry, man. I had such a great mini camp. They said number four, and you're on the team. I signed before we even got to the real camp. They found a gem.
I love that one.
They found a gem. A PTO.
Only scrubs go to mini camp.
A PTO. Jerry's percentage is next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's percentages brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from two people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or bestpc.ca.
I just got to know something. You said in the break that you put on a clinic at a mini camp.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were the best player on the ice.
Right.
How did you slide through 12 rounds of OHL draft selection?
I gave out a vibe like I was going to go to college.
Late bloomer.
I played the college game. Me.
Don't do the Chris Pronger thing. He did that, and he went to Peterborough. There was a couple other guys that went to London, like Patrick Kane.
Right.
Matthew
yeah, I gave
Kachuk.
That vibe out. I was going to go, you know,
you're
maybe to
honestly,
Harvard. I was thinking of going to Harvard with you. I was going to follow in your footsteps and become a Harvarder.
So you went to mini camp, and you put on a clinic.
Yeah, that's right.
Moving and shaking.
Yeah, so good. They said, I can't believe this. I can't believe what we just found.
And they gave him number four, too.
And gave me number four.
Apparently, somebody
and sent down Dan Girardi.
Yeah, Danny was he was a year younger than me. He was like an underage pick, and they said, you're not on the team.
Didn't Girardi play like
he
a
can
thousand
corroborate
games
that.
In the league?
Yeah, absolutely. Girardi had a great NHL career, but did not have a great minicamp back in 2000.
Was he in the minicamp?
Yeah, of course
he was.
He was
in management back then. They're not
so
in
you
hockey.
Were better
smart
than Dan
people.
Girardi in this
That's
league.
Right. Oh, not even in the same universe as Danny.
Oh, my God.
Girardi,
there's
good player,
be
good
it.
Man.
On YouTube, there's got to be something of Hayes floating around out there.
Yeah, no bucket.
I would love
Is
it.
Is there any viz of you in the minicamp?
Probably not. What are the chances?
I don't know. Somebody's got viz of something.
All right.
His dad does.
No, there was no, dude.
Filming
there
it.
There wasn't iPhones
I just
back
don't
there.
Believe it, Jamie. Like,
I believe it.
No.
Check it out on HockeyDB. I'm up there right now. 5 minutes ago. I'm the number one trend on HockeyDB.
Because people are checking it out, going like, this guy was moving.
Is that shaking. Actually for real?
Yeah, yes. Followed by you, and then Ray, and then Jesper Kotkaniemi, as if anybody cares about Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Yeah.
Or Jerry Gallant or Zach Cassian, and get to the real stuff. Remember a few years ago when we were on the lunch?
Yeah.
The guy that runs HockeyDB thought I had died.
The grappler did that. Somebody's...
No, dude, I'm telling you, this has happened before. I have been the number one trend on HockeyDB. And he's
for a mini camp. He was the best player in a mini camp. Stop looking this guy up.
I actually played, though. Like, it's not like I just was at the mini camp and then retired on a high.
You played four games for Barrie, and then
That's
how
not
did
true.
You even get traded?
That's not true. Because I was a wanted commodity.
Or 40-some games
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, played a fair amount.
Then you went to Sarnia.
What's your
How
point?
Did that trade go down? Like, what did Sarnia
They moved pieces, man. It was like the Paul George trade.
So you went to Drake's house?
There was a meeting at somebody's house.
I went to Drake's house in Sarnia.
Back then, it was a meeting at, like, Geddy Lee's house.
I was at Geddy Lee's house in Willowdale. All right, can we get to Jerry's percentages?
Exactly. I'm just so rattled.
Why would you be rattled?
Because I don't know.
You had a career. What does it matter?
Caleb Jones just signed a 2-year extension. He's 8th on the list for hockey DB. Hayes is number one.
Number one. No, that's a
true story. That's why I'm rattled. Like, I don't, like, a minicamp does not deserve that looking up. Like,
true story, 4 or 5 years ago, the guy who runs hockey
DB. Yeah, remember we had him on.
Was on Twitter, and someone wrote to him and said, hey, blah, 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 Brian Hayes is your number one guy. And he wrote him back saying, honestly, I just thought the guy died and people were searching for his name. Yeah. Like, why is he trending on our website?
It's
all the power of our show.
You trend.
So the guy that owns that website thought you died?
Because why would I be trending over, like, Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky and Austin Matthews? He's probably looking at it now being like, that idiot's talking about himself again on the show in Toronto.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry's percentages. You ready?
Yes, we're ready.
Here's a bombshell for you peasants that might actually have people paying attention to this stupid show. The real reason Meghan Markle wants to move back to North America is because she just can't handle being so far away from Jerry. Because my girl Meg knows that Prince Harry's got nothing on King Jerry. And you know exactly what I mean.
King Jerry?
That is a bombshell.
By the way, I'm getting my buddies texting me saying I get a lot of looks on hockey. It's just
no, you don't.
No, stop it.
You don't. And Meghan Markle. She. I had no idea she had an affinity for Jerry, but she's moving back here. That's going to happen.
Vancouver Island.
I think it's going to be Toronto. The more I think about it, I've been putting a lot of thought into it.
You think so?
Well, she was here for 7 years, right, working on suits, and she loved Toronto.
She lived in my cousin's house.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I remember hearing that story.
Yeah.
But
he had a rental place, and she was renting it.
Right. And she can't just move back into the annex or whatever and just be like, all right, we're living here now.
No.
Like, there's got to be security.
She's got to go to Burlington or... Doesn't she?
I don't know where she's going to move to.
She's got to go north. Oakville or north, like, up to where Duthie lives and all of that.
Right. Get in Duthie's compound. Yeah. That's what has to happen. All right. Are we going to get to some hot takes here?
Let's do it.
Austin Matthews is doing work on the ice, and if he's learned anything from Jerry off the ice, he'll score 60 goals this season.
Jerry's got him hitting the big 6-0.
I'm going to go 0%. I think it's 50. Like, nobody scores 60 anymore. Do you not agree? Or?
Barely anyone hits 50 anymore. Yeah. I mean, if we're being honest, like, I looked this up just when we were talking. How many times do you think Ovechkin has scored 60 goals in his career?
I'm going to say twice.
Yeah, I was going to say
without
twice.
Knowing.
One time.
Yeah.
He's hit it one time.
Stamkos had 65 once, but that Marty St. Louis put it on a tee for him.
Right. 60, I'm not going to say 0%, but I'll say 5%. Like, it is
okay,
so
I'll
tough.
Say six, like, but I'm basically saying it's not happening.
Yeah, it's very difficult to do. He goes on a cooler for 5 games, and it's like 50 turns into a debate.
I'll say 4%.
Remember when Pastrnak was 50 in 50 games?
What were you? 6%?
Yeah.
He's 5, I'm 4.
Bobby Orr.
Win. Bobby Orr. I'm Brian Hayes.
Even though no one really cares about the failing National Football League, even Jerry will admit he's a fanboy for Tony Romo. And I think Romo will leave CBS for ESPN.
Well, there's a report out there that ESPN is willing to pay him between $10 and $14 million to move over to ESPN. But CBS has the right to match the deal. That's my understanding. That's a big ticket. And if they match it, imagine they pay $14 million. Jim Nance is going to, he's going to lose his mind.
His head will explode on the air.
Right. Hello, friends. Yeah. And then he's going to lay a beating on somebody.
He sucker punches Romo.
Like, Romo rolls in, 3 years in, gets $14 million, and Nance is making like $3 or $4 million.
Yeah, that's.
But is he going to move to ESPN? Jerry believes Romo will be on the move.
I'm going to say 100% yes. And he deserves it.
86%. I'm high on it. But I still think there's a chance where a matching or some form of like, hey, we gave you the start, we'll give you some more cash, you stay.
I'd like to know how this got out.
Nance, like, what does he make?
We've done this before. I don't think he makes as much as you think he does.
So don't you think he would say, look, if you're going to pay this guy $14 million, what the heck are you going to pay me?
Like, we're partners. Romo doesn't do anything without me. And guess what I'm doing when Romo's off for the year? I'm going to the Masters. And then I'm doing this golf tournament and that golf tournament. And
He's nowhere to be found.
And Romo's just chilling. So if they give him $14 million and match it, Jim Nance immediately walks in and goes, $14 million or I'm out.
Give me 20.
Probably he's worth more because Nance is, you know, he's underrated. I don't know if he's underrated. He's a great voice. He's a great play-by-play guy. I love Romo. Like, I believe all of the love that he's received is totally warranted. I think he's outstanding.
Right.
But no one's worth 10 or 14 million to call 16 games. But it's got to be more than that. Like, ESPN must be saying, we'll give you 10
or
14.
Why isn't he worth that? If someone's willing to pay him that,
that's what he's worth. Do you watch the game because of who's the color commentator? Or are you watching the game because you want to watch the game?
Right.
Like, he can add to the entertainment value.
Value.
He does,
sure.
Of course. And there's value in that. But what I'm saying is I think ESPN will go to him and be like, we'll pay you that, but you're doing studio shows, you're doing a podcast.
You are part of
you're doing
the car wash.
That's what I'm talking about. If somebody's willing to pay him that, if some big shot place in New York said, hey, Brian, we're going to pay you $2 million to come down here, Would you regret it if I said, you're not worth that? You're worth that because somebody's willing to pay you that.
Yeah, no, I understand that. You're right. I guess what I'm saying is the value is difficult to justify, but it's not
your
my
value mind. Is what somebody is willing to pay you. That's your value.
Right.
Correct. But
it's
what
like a house. It's whatever somebody wants to pay you.
I understand that.
Right.
But
what he's saying, though, is it's going to come with, it's not just to call 16 games or 12 to 16. It's a car wash.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing everything.
Right.
Oh, so you think the 14 comes with a whole bunch of different...
Dude, it'd be the highest... Like, based on the report, no one in the history of sports media has been paid that kind of money. Like, Bob Costas, Dan Patrick, none of them. Like,
dude,
to do this kind of stuff.
There was somebody that recently has been fired that worked at Good Morning America. He made $27 million a year.
That is different.
For what reason?
Well, because the audience is that much bigger. Like, we're talking, that's ABC. That's... You're getting millions of people in the morning. You're talking about Matt Lauer.
Right.
And he did a lot more than that. He did stuff with their news. He did stuff with elections and all that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not his agent. I'm not privy to what his deal was necessarily. But sports is still niche.
Right.
Right? Like, it's still not compared to the big morning shows on TV down in the States. But 12 to 14 million would be in that same ballpark if Romo ends up getting it. I'd like to know how it got out.
How do you think it got out?
Well, the agent.
That's Jess Romo's setting, you know, a red
Boris.
Flag.
Is his agent Boris?
No, I don't believe it is. But
that's where it came out. The agent kind of floated it to ESPN, and that's where it got out.
We'll come back, and we'll get to the next two or three Jerrys.
Yeah,
we got going late.
We started talking
about Hockey DB, and we still have two or three lined up. All right? Jerry's Percentages continues next. All right, Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, the next hour. Dan Wetzel as well from Yahoo Sports, who is an executive producer of the new documentary, Killer Inside, the Aaron Hernandez story. It's up on Netflix. Apparently, it is wild. I mean, his story is. Like, when you consider some of the more just Hollywood-type stories, like, it's almost impossible to believe it could happen.
Yeah.
Like, the extreme of the extreme is clearly O.J. Simpson, and it always will be. But Aaron Hernandez, really not that far behind in terms of him being a current player, a great player, on the number one team in the NFL, and he's killing people. Like, killing people.
Yeah. As you know, I'm a Pats fan, and just to see that story, he was such a great player, too. And it's like to go from watching him... Just being a great
dominate.
Player.
Dominate.
Like, as far as tight ends, he was...
It was him and Gronk.
That's it.
And there was a legitimate debate.
And
who's better?
Yeah. To go from that to what ended up happening was...
It's sad.
It is.
You're right. After OJ, there's probably...
Like, in terms of just crazy, I can't believe that.
That's got to be number two.
And the prison he went to and was staying in was, like, a couple hundred meters away from... Gillette Stadium.
Right.
Like, there are pictures out there where it's like, here is the prison. Aaron Hernandez is in there. Like, 3 years ago, he was catching
Brady.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, right over there.
Right over there. Like, it's wild. So we'll catch up with Dan in about 15 minutes. So Jerry's percentages, I don't remember the last time we did this, but we're going to carry it over to a second
Well, we got
segment.
Rambling.
Yeah, we were talking about your legendary status and
or, which is fine. I mean, that deserves its own moment in the sun.
It does.
At 5:30 in the afternoon when there's a lot of people tuning in. Yeah. They really want to hear about my triumphant mini camp.
Fire one up. Let's go.
You ready for Jerry's to continue?
Yes.
Pretty sad hearing a whiny Canadian like Zach Cassian complain so much about an alpha American like Matthew Tkachuk. And just to shut up all you losers in Edmonton, Tkachuk will fight an Oiler at some point this season.
Did we even put a percentage on Romo leaving for ESPN? I don't think we did. We just rambled and talked and... You were in the 80s?
I was in the 80s.
Yeah, I said
like
100%.
He said 100%. I said 86
okay.
or something.
I don't think I did. I'll say 50%. Anyway, okay. Matthew Tkachuk will fight someone on the Edmonton Oilers before the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, I'm going to be high on this. 87%.
100. He is going to, and he's going to fight one guy. Guess who that's going to be?
You think he's going to fight Cassian?
That's right. He's that.
I don't know.
I would love to see that, I'll be honest, but not for him. Because I think he would be in a world of trouble.
You know who his dad is? Like
he's not his dad, man. He like you know Keith. You played against him. He was a moose.
Yeah.
Like Keith Tkachuk was. Matthew Tkachuk is lanky. Like he's not. Did you see Cassian throwing? That was Chara and McCabe. He was throwing him around.
You don't think Matthew Tkachuk is going to fight Zach Cassian?
I don't. I'm not convinced he'll fight.
I'll do a side bet with you privately, but it's 100%, and that's the guy he will do it with.
I'm not convinced it'll be Cassian, but I do believe he's going to fight.
I think he'll probably fight somebody on that team. I don't.
Why would he bother with anyone else? Who else?
Because you might be able to win.
Well,
if you fight someone else, you might be able to win.
So he's going to grab Ryan Nugent Hopkins and beat him up?
No, I mean he can't jump somebody because then he's in a world of trouble. Like it's got to be off the draw. Like the, and I know the new. No one wants to hear that that's going to happen, but I think it's
but
probably going to happen.
But it could be a Darnell Nurse. I keep thinking,
why would you want to fight Darnell Nurse?
You're in trouble with Nurse.
Agreed.
But I'd rather fight Nurse than Cassian.
Here's the thing.
Yes,
I would.
Have you ever seen Darnell Nurse fight?
Yes, he throws bombs. I would lose both. But Cassian is a monster.
Well, and I'm not going to discount the fact of
that's why you're not a fighter and I'm not a fighter. You would pick Nurse over Cassian?
Yeah. Noodles?
What I'm going to say is, hold on a second. I'm not discounting the Tkachuk blood. That's what you were trying to say? Like, yeah, different builds, but there's a lot of toughness there. I think
he's had opportunities to dance with him, and he said, no, thank you.
Listen,
Jamie,
that
if you were playing in net, who would you slash, like, behind the ankles? Cassian or Nurse?
Both of them. I'd slash them both, but I know my face would get beat in by both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But Like Nurse he's a mean man. Yeah,
he's
too.
Very mean.
That is code for saying that's the guy I wouldn't do first.
That's fine.
But Cassian is a lefty too, and he's a lot bit like Cassian's 6'3", 6'4", 220.
240 he looks.
Yeah,
like he looks
thick,
like big.
And not shy to bomb. I think both of them are actually almost on par with how tough they are.
Okay.
That fight with Greenway and Darnell Nurse, I don't know if you saw that one mm-hmm. in Mini this year. Like, that was two large men going at it.
I think it would be wise if Tkachuk avoided both. Listen, I think Matthew Tkachuk is tough, and
right.
I don't think he's going to be afraid necessarily.
He's
but
not.
I don't know if he's going to pick that door.
Well, let's not forget Lucic is in that lineup, and he's what he said today, too. Regardless of, like, whether that carries weight or not, like, Milan's not going to allow things to get out of hand either.
Right. Yeah, I don't know who
I don't think
who
Matthew
else.
Will. I don't
You think he just gets it over with like right? Do you think the NHL is going to call both coaches and say don't start them? Like don't have them both on the ice to start the game.
They could.
Tough.
Because you know what I mean, if you fight during the game it's like all right, but you know what I'm saying, off the draw the first puck doesn't even hit the ice.
You wow. apparently light up summer camps or whatever you do. You know how the
There's
deal
been
works.
A lot of fake news what you're saying yeah. so far in the first
Mini
2
camps.
Hours of the show. Mini Camp Hayes. Be back at 6 o'clock.
That's the Mini Camp Hayes coming up with the O-Dog and Noodles.
Yeah.
Dan Wetzel coming up. Darren Dreger. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.